everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with our friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is on the other side of the glass engineering today's show, making sure, Tom, I think you've got all the buttons going in the right direction today. Don't want to put any pressure on you. No, Tom always has the things are always going in the right direction for Mr. Fairbanks. Friday, December 19th, 2014, upon us. Third day of Hanukkah, and now Christmas, just, let's see, about 5 days away to Christmas Eve here. So, where did the year go? We are live on the Buckmaster Show each weekday. We're here 1204 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we make it very easy for you to hear our product. You can stream it at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. And a lot of people who do not get a chance to hear the show live, join us with our podcast, which means that you can listen to that anywhere in the world, anytime, again, at buckmastershow.com. Friday, we like to do our shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, supporters of the Buckmaster Show, as is TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Jim DeGroote is here. Jim is Transportation Services Director for the Tucson-based Regional Transportation Authority. Jim, how are you?
Doing very well, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Good to see you. Got your Christmas shopping done?
Pretty much.
Are you one of those last-minute Christmas Eve people?
You know, yeah, I'm too disorganized to do it last minute. So.
And we want to welcome also Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, I'm sure you will be out Christmas Eve doing...
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's a tradition.
I think so. If you have a question or comment to talk about transportation in our region, the Buckmaster Show live line is available for you, 790-2040. Jim DeGroote is always a good sport when he joins us about answering to the best of his ability any transportation questions that any of our listeners might have. And if you'd like to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show, and I hope you will be as we push now toward 3,900 friends of this program. We invite you to join us on Facebook, Bill Buckmaster. It's hard to believe we'll be celebrating our fourth year anniversary of this program the first week in January. So time is flying, I guess, when we're having a good time. Jim, let's get going with kind of an update. The program, the RTA program, was approved in 2006.
Right, right.
May of...
We're now 8.5 years into it.
Hard to believe.
I know.
As we talk about time flying, give our listeners a quick overview of where we are.
Well, in terms of what we promised the public, 35 road projects, 200 intersections, 200 bus pullouts, I think 550 miles of bike lanes, 250 miles of sidewalks, and I want to say 80 pedestrian crossings. And we are clipping away at all of these. The last I counted, we're looking at probably 145-plus intersections now complete. So we're over 70% through what we promised there. We are, I think, 109 bus pullouts of the 200 we promised. We've got 48 pedestrian crossings, 200 and I forget how many miles of bike lanes, and well over 100 miles of sidewalk. So we're well on our way. The road projects are the ones that take the longest to deliver. And if the folks listening may remember, we during the recession, we knew it took a while to get projects, the major projects, out on the street, get them under construction, in large part because they weren't designed. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to go through that design process.
The whole startup process took a while. And it's interesting, too, because, Jim, the approval came while the economy was booming.
Yeah.
And then everything went south within year and a half to 18 months after the RTA project were all approved. And so everything changed
it
money
sure
wise when you're going out to bid.
It sure did.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of things, you know, when we started that program, the, you know, we didn't have a pothole problem here in Pima County to speak of. It was something that, you know, we had funds. The Highway User Revenue Fund was doing well, and that was getting addressed. What we needed was road dollars. Dollars to expand our transit system and those kinds of improvements. We had a lot of growth occurring at the time. It's a different ballgame now.
Here, let's bring Dan Shear in. Dan, go ahead.
Jim, there is a lot of progress, and it's a 20-year plan. Already, though, you are contemplating at least a reauthorization. What would that mean? You'd be extending the life of the RTA?
Well, you know, it could take a number of different forms, and at this point in time, the discussions are extremely preliminary. We did have a board meeting back in October where we began the discussion of what the planning process might look like, and I think everybody, all of the electeds that are on our board, recognize the value of the RTA and what it's meant to this community in terms of our overall prosperity, you know, the number of jobs that, we talk oftentimes about jobs created. Well, it was jobs retained. We had a lot of people that would have otherwise not been working through the economic recession, particularly in the construction industry, that were contributing to our RTA program. So, you know, it's really been something that we've helped ourselves with. And golly, I'm losing my train of thought here.
You're talking about the renewal.
The renewal, yeah.
What form would that, and when would that actually, when would something like that happen?
You know, the current authorization runs through the middle of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where we go beyond that. I mean, we are right now funding a lot of services. If we were to not renew, a lot of bus services, a lot of express buses and the like would cease to be funded. So we would need to look at rolling those back. We also do expect to continue to need to do safety improvements in this community. We're not in a static environment. And although it may seem difficult to imagine, we will probably grow again. And when that occurs, we'll need to be facing the infrastructure challenges that that creates. So that is what we need to look at as we go forward. And it what we look at in terms of the mix of projects may be very different. So we need to be prepared to have that discussion. And what the board's been talking about so far has really been how to have that discussion and how long that would take. And, you know, it will be something that will be every bit as extensive as the original RTA plan with its 300 public meetings and so forth.
You know, Jim, along those lines with new projects or whatnot, everybody is talking about road repairs. We have a lot of bad roads mm-hmm. around here. And I know that that was not part of the RTA plan originally. Could road repairs or maintenance be part of it going forward?
You know, I think it probably could be. It would not be in the current plan. We may need to get some clarifications in our enabling statutes. That's all stuff we have to look into in greater detail before I could commit to that. But you know, it's certainly going to be something that would have to be on the table.
But you are asked every day. Probably.
Oh, my golly, yes. Yeah.
when you say, I'm with the Regional Transportation Authority, and people say, okay, when are you going to fix our road?
Exactly. It's like, nice that you're building that. Can you fix the pothole, please?
But that is not what RTA is.
You know, they don't like it when I say that's not my job. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't ring.
No. Quick update on Broadway. That plan changed from the 8 lanes to 6. The enabling legislation, I know the attorneys vetted mm-hmm. this. There was the change. It was approved. What will now that widening look like?
That widening will be a compact 6-lane roadway. At the time that the plan was originally devised for Broadway, you know, they were looking at a lot of different potential alternatives. What we did with the Broadway process, and it was a process. I went through
months.
Yeah, 28 months, I think.
Yeah.
A whole lot of public input, a whole lot of time spent by a lot of people on this to try to come up with this. And not everybody's happy, and we recognize that. That may be the mark of a reasonable plan is having both sides mad at statue. I don't know. That's some people's view of things. But upshot of it is that we're looking at a six-lane roadway. It will have adequate turn bays. It will have bus pullouts. The original plan didn't really contemplate bus pullouts because they were going to have a bus lane. And what we found was that really when you look at the overall performance of the road, you know, having the buses operating in mixed traffic does not really influence the capacity of the road or the travel speed of the cars. In fact, if we were to do dedicated bus lanes, the main impact that we would see is that the crosswalks on the side streets would be longer, and so the red light you'd be sitting at is going to be longer because we have to let the pedestrians cross at these side streets. So that is, interestingly, we get more capacity with a six-lane roadway than we do with a six with dedicated bus lanes. Mm.
See if we can work one quick comment in from Sheldon on the Buckmaster Show live line. I think he has a question about the Union Pacific improvements and I-10, whether that is a part of the RTA portfolio. Is that what you're looking at,
yes,
Sheldon?
Yes, the Tangerine Road. Is that the will there be a link of passenger line, or Jim and I have talked about the RTA, and even spring training baseball, by the way, okay, the urban area. But this, what is the significance of today's the radio flash news, Jim, about a passenger improvement or a railroad improvement by Union Pacific at Tangerine Road.
Okay, thank you, Sheldon.
Sure, Sheldon. Clearly the Union Pacific Railroad is doing a fair amount of improvement to its main line. Their goal is to double track the Sunset Route going from El Paso to Long Beach, and they are making improvements, and it is improving train speed. It also will increase the volume because, you know, from the Union Pacific standpoint, why haul all these containers across the Rockies and the Wasatch and and the Sierras when you can do an all-weather route to the south? So we expect that train volume to increase. In terms of passenger rail, that's something that Arizona Department of Transportation is looking at, and that's going to be a long way into the future.
Long time.
We should be thinking in the timeline of that along the same time as we're looking at I-11. I mean, it's a long way in the future and extraordinarily expensive.
All right. Jim DeGroote is with us from the Regional Transportation Authority. Dan Shear sticks around as well. We've got a second segment of the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview. Let's take a break and listen to the fine people who support this program. We ask that you give them your support as well. Be right back.
How would you like to help people in our community who are in need and save money on your taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit keeps your tax dollars in Tucson when you direct it to a qualifying charity. Individuals may donate up to $200 and married filing jointly up to $400. Receive a dollar-for-dollar credit that will reduce your Arizona state income tax. This could also be claimed on your federal taxes. Help local charities like Old Pueblo Community Services, Pima Council on Aging, and Gap Ministries. Go to azcharitytaxcredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview today is with Jim DeGruy. Jim is with the Regional Transportation Authority. He is the Transportation Services Director. And Dan Scheer is with us from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Dan is the editor of those two fine papers. Jim, what's the update on the streetcar, the modern streetcar? And Dan and I were just talking from a news point of view. I think both of us would agree for kind of news of Tucson that will have probably of long-lasting historic significance. The streetcar coming online is a big story.
It is a big story, and it's a good story, a great story to tell. In fact, we are continuing to be surprised at how successful it is. I think everybody going into it was kind of on pins and needles, thinking, "God, I hope somebody rides the bloody thing." an analysis done prior to the streetcar being authorized, and it predicted ridership, predicted about 3,600 passengers per day. We're right now at 4,200, so we're exceeding our passenger ridership. And that's an average.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, we'll see during some months quite a bit more than that. I mean, I've heard as many as 5,200 people a month on the service.
A lot of young people from the university riding.
A lot of young.
Yeah.
Try riding that thing at 2 in the afternoon. I mean to tell you, you're standing room only in that thing.
Wow.
As you're going through the U of A campus, mm-hmm. and out to the dorms in downtown. And, you know, if there have been surprises, they've been pleasant ones for the most part. We are still going through the shakedown of some of the equipment. The streetcar vehicles themselves, flawless. They are so well made.
Made in Portland.
We're not having any performance issues with that. We are kind of grinding through some technological things, and you know, some of the supporting technology. You know, I think probably the biggest thing we hear complaints about is the ticket vending machines, and mm-hmm. those are being improved. The city's figured out how to deal with some of the heat-related problems with the vending machines, and that was what really we were finding was a lot of the cards were sticking up in the vending machines. But
generally, bugs are being worked out.
Bugs are being worked out, and yeah, things are moving pretty well.
Okay, here's Dan.
The light rail in Phoenix opened, I believe it was 6 years ago this month, and within a year, they had a fare hike of about 40%. Do you see anything like that in the offing for us?
Certainly not of that scale. And one of the things that, you know, the light rail is a different beast. You know, it's going quite long distances. You know, this is a 4-mile route. We have it priced competitively with our bus system. And, you know, we have committed to seamlessness in all of our fare products. So if you wanted to board a shuttle bus in Sahuarita, you could board it in Sahuarita and you know, take the trip up to the Ronstadt Transit Center and transfer onto the streetcar with the same fare products. So, you know, it is something that we've committed to seamlessness on, and we will continue to talk about fare pricing. You know, I know that's something that is largely driven by the city because they've got the biggest stake in it.
But no imminent plans to raise.
You know, it would be through this broader fare policy discussion that the city is having.
Yeah. How about Grant Road? That's a project that's going to be a big one.
It's a huge one, and mm-hmm. You know, it's the largest of our road projects.
It is of all the projects.
Mm-hmm. Of all of them, it's $160 some million, and you know, most of that's in right of way. We've got a lot of work underway on it right now in terms of design, and there are going to be big changes over the course of the next year and a half. One of the biggest ones, the one that I hear the most about, is, you know, again, goes back to that pothole problem.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the city is. We have worked with the city to find money for repaving Grant Road. This is not part of their Proposition 409 work. This is other money that's come in from the region to do a repaving of the centerpiece of Grant Road, where the road
desperately needs.
Yeah, it's fallen apart before our eyes.
Oh yeah, that and, is a realignment city when you drive.
Yeah, and you know, in fact, it would have been repaved already, but for the fact that we found out the city found out as they were putting their plans out to bid that there were some utility improvements that the utility company said, whoa, hold on, let's get these in before you do that, because it's going to be sealed up for about 6-8 years. So.
And it goes from where to where, Jim, the project?
The overall project goes from Swan on the east to Oracle on the west. The western intersection, the first quarter of a mile or so is built, you know, with the Oracle Road intersection. That was our second indirect left turn, and we'll be looking at 6 more indirect left turns up and down that corridor.
And as we look at those, I know there's been some tweaking on those Michigan lefts.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going overall, and are you getting calls about them still? People have gotten used to it?
I think people have gotten pretty used to it. And, you know, it's funny, whenever I go up to public meetings in the Northwest, I always, you know, kind of tell the audience, I'm here and I'll take all of your rotten fruit and tomatoes, you know, bring them on. We're happy with this. This is working. And there's been a substantial improvement in the delay that was being experienced at that intersection. We may have moved the delay a little bit down the road on Oracle in some cases, but, you know, we are seeing much better performance of that intersection. Just the right turn lane alone that we put in is a huge benefit. And the indirect left turn has given more time to the north and south movements on Oracle. So we are able to get people through that intersection more rapidly. So we're very pleased with it. We've not noticed much in the way of operational problems, certainly not since we've been tweaking it. And we did have to do some work. And part of it is, you know, every jurisdiction has its own way that it likes to operate traffic signals. Well, we got Oro Valley, the state, and Pima County involved in this. So, you know, this is the confluence of three jurisdictions, and they'll have to work through the technical and policy issues as it comes to operating their signals. And they've done it. We've gone out and we've instrumented it. We can definitively tell you that we are saving people time. We can track Bluetooth devices, and we did that before and after the implementation of this intersection. We can definitively tell you it's saving the public time and congestion.
All right, Jim DeGroote, we're going to wrap it up with you. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great holiday season.
Thank you, too.
And ninth year for the RTA, and when do you think Grant Road, you say design work, when would you actually see the work begin?
Well, look at the repaving project next spring.
Next spring.
Look at the next phase, probably in early 2016. We've got a lot of right-of-way acquisition already occurring up and down the corridor between Oracle and Park. That's where the next piece will go, and that's the first really big bite of that road that we're taking down.
All right. How many lanes, then, will that be?
Six lanes.
That's a six lane.
Six lanes, bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, the whole boat.
All right. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, midway point on this Friday. Our last Friday show before the Christmas holiday. Dan Scheer will stick around, and Sarah Garrett Gasson joins us from The Star after we take a break right here. Be right back.
How would you like to help people in our community who are in need and save money on your taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit keeps your tax dollars in Tucson when you direct it to a qualifying charity. Individuals may donate up to $200 and married filing jointly up to $400. Receive a dollar-for-dollar credit that will reduce your Arizona state income tax. This could also be claimed on your federal taxes. Help local charities like Interfaith Community Services, Kids in Need, and others. Go to azcharitytaxcredit.org.
Jeez, Edith, where's the car? Meathead was supposed to meet us out front there.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Archie. He took it over to Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, gosh, yeah, Edith, I told you I don't want anybody touching that car unless they know what they was doing.
Archie, Mike Emery knows what he's doing. He's ASE certified and he restores old cars.
Why, Edith, you done it again. Jeez, Edith, is that the LaSalle? Listen to it purring.
It reminds me of the first time you took me out on a date, Archie.
Oh, yes, you were purring yourself that night, weren't you, Edith?
Oh, Archie.
Stifle yourself there, Edith.
We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and even LaSalle. But don't let that scare your Toyota or Chevy away. 323-8650. Or perfectionautoworks.com.
G.R.O. LaSalle and Gray knows why
they're. Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test and don't forget to ask about the Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday before Christmas. We're at 12:36. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. He is the editor at those two fine publications. And Sarah Garrett Gasson joining us from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, editorial writer and columnist and host of the Newsmaker series at Tucson.com.
Yes.
And congratulations to Sarah for being named one of the employees of the year at the Arizona Daily Star.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nice. They gave you kind of a, from what I saw on Facebook, looks like someone did a really nice kind of, what is it, like a portrait?
The illustrator, one of the illustrators at the Star, Tammy Graves, I cannot say enough about how talented she is. Mm. She you see her work in the newspaper. She did the fantastic portraits of Nandi, the little baby elephant.
Oh, yeah.
And she did portraits of all the employees of the year, and she's just so, so incredibly talented.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
The big story, well, you know, actually, we might just sort of segue out of our interview with the RTA. I think the big story in Tucson really is that the streetcar came online. I would put that certainly in my top three stories, wouldn't you, of the year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's something that I think we waited for so long and talked about, and there were problems and delays and
cost. Is anybody going to ride it? As Jim DeGroote pointed out, there were a lot of kind of sleepless nights wondering, well, okay, we've got it. Now what's going to happen?
Right, and now that it's here, it seems like it's been here forever.
Yeah, so.
I agree. I think that's really even created some excitement down in our area in Green Valley and Sahuarita, where people have actually driven up here just to ride that darn thing. And they enjoy, yes.
They've heard about it, and they want to take a ride.
All ages, and, you know, will it get them to go up there a little bit more often? Well, we'll see, but the reviews on it were very, very good.
The big story of the week, and again, this would qualify as probably one of my big, I'd put this in my top three, a change in leadership in Congressional District Number 2 with Colonel McSally being named the winner. It was interesting, Sarah, that there was very little change in votes. In fact, the vote change was in favor of McSally.
Yes.
A couple of vote change.
Literally a couple of vote change. I think it was went from a margin of 161 to 167, which I think shows just how absolutely this is hardly a mandate either way, which is perfect for CD2 because it's how...
Kind of always been that way.
Yeah, it's never, no one in Congressional District 2 has won by a landslide. It's been, and I think it's something that incoming Congresswoman McSally will do well to remember that, as I think Representative Barber did, that it's a centrist district, mm-hmm. and it's not one that goes in ideologically either way.
Dan, did you get a chance to take a look at the transition team, which is, I counted 20.
There's a bazillion people. I brought
I
the list.
Oh, you did bring
I
it.
I did.
Good.
I'll start counting.
Yeah. please do, because I started counting and lost track after I got to, I think, about 24, a couple of dozen. But I was happy to see, Dan, that Jim Colby is kind of the chair of the group. I think that's good advice for McSally.
I think it's a good move, and she's also keyed in on some important topics, and I think is right on as far as the district is concerned. I think Sarah's correct in that it is a very centrist district. She didn't win by a landslide, not at all. And Ron Barber worked very, very hard to make sure that everybody was served. And I mm-hmm. think we look at his votes in Congress, but you have to overlook, we're overlooking what is really one of the biggest roles of a member of Congress, and that is constituent services. And Ron Barber's team working back here in Arizona was incredible, helping literally thousands of people work through the system to get problems solved.
And kudos to Ron Barber. Whether you like Ron or not, maybe you're not a Democrat and you don't care for Ron, but he's a classy guy.
Absolutely.
And he put out, there was a news release, I think it was yesterday, that he will do everything he can to make this transition as smooth as possible.
Absolutely. And I think I did finish counting.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
There's 30 people on the
30.
Transition
okay.
team. It's like enough to fill a whole streetcar.
Whoa.
But I think one thing that we should talk about is that this whole episode brought to light, and I think it's one of the things that Ron Barber was very vocal about, is it kind of pulled the curtain back on the election process and how important it is that we have really qualified, trained, equipped people running polling places, people who understand the rules, which are very complicated. And I've been a poll worker a couple times. So it's once you get in the routine of things, it can get a little hairy if the lines are long. And then also the kind of odd things that can happen once they're figuring out, you know, does this provisional ballot, do the signatures match, is you know, allowing mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. Both votes are counted and which aren't, because every single vote is important in a race like this, 167 votes it comes down to. And I think we really need to pay attention going forward to how to improve the voting process. I personally think we need to go to voting centers countywide to avoid the somewhat it just seems so odd in today's day and age that going to the wrong polling place mm-hmm. is something that can get your
vote. So you would advocate a certain number of centrally kind of located centers or regional centers.
Yeah. Right. And that's a complicated process. Yeah. And there's voter responsibility, obviously, is first and foremost. But making it as easy as possible would is the best way to go, I think.
I think it's pretty easy as it is. I think people are given plenty of warning and information about where they are supposed to be voting. So I didn't have much sympathy for these people who showed up at the wrong place. Because remember, with the people who are at the polls, the poll workers, if someone comes in and insists on voting, they have to let them vote.
Really?
Yes, they have to let them vote. You cannot prevent a registered voter from casting a ballot, even if it's the wrong place, and you tell them it's not going to count. And then, of course, they can call Election Central anytime and get the answers to the questions. So as far as I'm concerned, the system is, it might be as good as it's going to get. The one thing that troubled me was during the recount, they found 21 ballots that had not been counted originally. Mm-hmm. And that might provide for some of the difference between 161 and 167. So that was a little disconcerting. They just kind of found these ballots somewhere.
Big story for Oro Valley, certainly, and it continues on. The latest I've heard is there's a group that's trying to put together kind of a petition or referendum to let the people of Oro Valley vote on whether or not the town should own a couple of golf courses of the El Conquistador. And it brings up this whole thing about golf and fewer people playing golf. Well, Dan, you're living kind of in the center of the golfing universe, at least Green Valley, one of the centerpieces of Green Valley that really started the whole Green Valley thing was around golf.
Really, in between, you're right, in between Sarita and Nogales, there are about 11 golf courses down there, 7 or 8 right in Sarita and Green Valley that have really gotten really drive our traffic between January and March. And so we've had some problems down there recently. One golf course is closed, probably will not reopen. It's interesting to watch the desert reclaim it. Another one recently somebody just bought and poured a lot of money into trying to bring it back. And we have two others that were struggling. The water's turned off or, you know, whatever. But remember, they probably make about 80% of their money in this 3 or 4 month period. And so you got to be up and running. And then you have that larger question of golf in general. Right now it's on the downturn and not as many people are doing it. The youth programs aren't drawing as many people, so you don't have those future golfers. So, and again, you know what? Is someone going to pay $40-$50 for a round of golf? That's pretty steep here. Mm-hmm. We're not out of this economic downturn yet.
And not to mention the water usage. Mm-hmm. Even if you use effluent, which a lot of golf courses do, it's a big consideration to think about in the larger scheme of things. So I'm not surprised that even if the people in Oro Valley are thinking maybe not specifically about the water usage, but anytime you talk about taxes.
Oh, boy.
And
the third rail in Arizona will get folks going. You talk about raising taxes. People just go crazy here. And, you know, putting it all in perspective, I come from the Chicago area, and, boy, people that move out here from Chicago, they come to Tucson or they come to Arizona for that matter, and they think they've gone to tax heaven. This is one of, there's no comparison.
Absolutely. You know, Bill, about 10 years ago, I was looking at a job in Nebraska, and the taxes, the property taxes, had to be double, maybe 2.5 times what they were here. We were just stunned at that. You're right. It's very low here, just like university tuition is also very low. But, you have to live and function where you are, and for a lot of people, it is oppressive. I'll tell you what, I think that a $500 million bond in 2015 is going to be a very hard sell for lots of reasons.
The bond issues?
Yes.
I think that's it all will come down to what's in the bond. That's going to be crucial. I think Dan's right. People are often hesitant, and especially in an economic time like that, like this, to vote to raise their own taxes, even when there are real actual needs that we talk about and complain about every day. Turning the page and saying, yeah, I'll go ahead and pay for that, is something that a lot of people just aren't willing to do.
Mr. Huckleberry's plan to bar smokers from applying for jobs in Pima County was delayed until I guess February. From what I understand, the vote was basically, it would have been 4-1 against Mr. Huckleberry's plan. And my sources tell me that it will still be 4-1 in February. Most likely.
Yeah, good luck.
So maybe that will sort of die, that particular proposal, over the holidays.
Right. How do you...
or the early new year.
That is just the ultimate. How are you going to prove that? You can't. I mean, drug testing, you can. There's ways you can find out if someone's, using marijuana or whatever. But something like smoking is, I know where I work and a lot of other places, you pay more if you're a smoker for your insurance. And that's another way to approach things. But saying we're not going to hire smokers, I think, is not going to fly, because then where do you draw the line? Oh, you eat fried foods. Well, we're not going to hire you. It's not doable.
Or you're a cancer survivor, or you're this, and you do a genetic test on you.
Well, I believe the European Union, just this week, decided that obesity is a disability. Okay, now we have that into play. But I've been doing a lot of research on the smoking thing, and a lot of places have done exactly what Pima County is considering. It's certainly, obviously, legal. It's not real popular, and I do wonder how you also prove that also. But I'll tell you what, who are you acing out of the job market? Are you going to be losing out as a county on some really good workers because of this? I would rather help people conquer the addiction than punish them for it.
Congratulations to Pima Community College. Looks like they will be getting off probation. There will be a watch period. So that's good news for Pima and Chancellor Lee Lambert, who today is celebrating his birthday. Another Sagittarian.
Yes, yeah. there are a lot of us.
I tell you, so that's good news, and I think they're moving in the right direction.
It sounds like that's the case, and some of the remarks in the report were that it does sound like there are policies in place, things are moving in the right direction. It's just they haven't been going long enough to know if it's working. But I think something that is the big question, as we were talking before we went on air, is the governing board.
The board.
It's that's not a
little
really
contentious there, yeah.
Good set of leadership with the board majority. So voters are going to have to take it upon themselves, I think, to really be able to right this ship if there's going to be real change.
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room. Three-fifths of the board really shouldn't be there. They're gonna—they're from the Flores era. They're dragging it down, but their arrogance is probably going to keep them there.
And Sarah, was there a lot of reaction to the column? I've got 30 seconds. And summarizing the column, there are a lot of good cops. There are a lot of good protest. Majority are good cops. Majority of protesters are good people.
Right. My column yesterday in the Arizona Daily Star was basically we have to be able to criticize some police without it being interpreted as we're criticizing all police.
Everybody. Right.
The response actually was very positive.
Good. We'll end on a positive note here right before the holidays. Both of you have a great holiday. We'll look forward to working with you in 2015. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Be right back with Weekend Watch.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books.
David Slutz, entertainment director for the Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen.
Janos Wilder, chef and owner of Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist.
Wow, what a lineup. You can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's the weekend on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson. Have some time off this holiday season. Might want to do road trip time over to Silver City. Great place to go hiking, bird watching, and just exploring the historic downtown Silver City area. You can visit their great website, and we encourage you to do it, southwestnewmexico.org, for the full listing of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Little Toad Creek Inn, and it also has the wonderful listings of things to do. Weekend Watch host Matt Russell, the award-winning Tucson publicist, and he is the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, and the Santa suit still very appropriate on this last Friday before Christmas. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to be getting a lot of mileage out of this holiday wear, Bill, so honk if you see me at any mall nearby.
What's going on tonight?
You know, Bill, you know how much I love tacos.
Oh, yeah.
So there is no wonder why I'm so excited for today's first anniversary celebration of Geo Taco at 4th and Congress downtown. They're talking $1 carne asada tacos, $1 pollo asado tacos, you know, and a dollar drafts of Hopnosh IPA, or maybe a bucket of five-session beers for only $9. This is really a party fit for the taco lover in all of us, and it's happening all day today, all night tonight until closing. Happy first birthday to Geo Taco. I say it's time to eat, Bill.
Where's Santa come into all this?
Yeah, you know, he started to make his rounds here locally to see who's been naughty and nice, and he's going to be swinging by Main Gate Square tonight at 7 o'clock. But this year, Bill, he's encouraging everyone to come out in their red suits and beards for a Santa lookalike contest. This has got my name all over it. You can also buy a wristband for $5, which is going to give you discounts at all the great restaurants and bars in Main Gate. And all the money raised goes to support Ben's Bells. So dress like Santa, enjoy some great food and drink, all while supporting a great cause.
You're already dressed like Santa, so you can just head right over there. The grand opening coming up for, what is this, the Cashew Cow Dessert Parlor?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at first glance, it looks like another artisanal ice cream shop with flavors like green tea and pumpkin and mint chip. But if you take a closer look, Bill, you're going to see that there's no cream in this ice cream. Yes, Cashew Cow Dessert Parlor has opened its doors serving frozen scoops of goodness made from cashews.
What?
Now, apparently, this stuff serves up just as rich and creamy as ice cream does without the dairy, and that has me quite intrigued. So I say, go try Cashew Cow this weekend for yourself and see what you think. They're in the Broadway Village Shopping Center at the corner of Broadway and Country Club. Cashew Cow. Interesting.
All right. We'll look for the holiday column in Inside Tucson Business.
Absolutely. You know, a new restaurant just opened in Tucson, and they're featuring an interesting insect on their menu. Find out what's been crawling around this new eatery, as you said, in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
We got to crawl right out of here. Matt, have a great holiday season. Thank you very much.
Back to you, sir.
All right. We want to do a big shout-out to Mike Emery and the team over at Perfection Auto Works. Mike has a great cast of mechanics that work for him over there at the shop. Midtown, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Check him out, perfectionautoworks.com. Also, big shout-out, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Want to thank all of the sponsors who've been so great to us on the Buckmaster Show this year. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we wish you a wonderful and joyous holiday season and urge you to tune in this weekend for all of the expert talk, beginning with Phil Cedar and The Garden Show tomorrow at 7 a.m. Tom, I think you'll be there bright and early, ready to engineer that show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.